I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. There is no shortage of food influencers on social media, as well as vloggers on food, online, on platforms like YouTube. But how many good ones are there? I found myself curious about what I felt are the good ones, you know, the ones that actually know what good food is, likely because they know how to cook or, at the very least, their way around the kitchen, and aren't just consumers for the sake of aesthetics or what's trendy. An important thing for me in my viewing of the type of video is whether the people reviewing actually pay for their own meals. We've all heard the stories of Instagram personalities shaking down restaurants or exploiting their perceived influence in other ways. As I continue to watch the regulars I enjoy, I figured I should invite them on the program to find out why they do what they do, what places they enjoy eating at, how they navigate the waters of ethics when it comes to filming and paying, and how they're able to find good places to eat that provide good value, even in this economy. I reached out to 7 longtime duos or personalities, but have only heard back from 2, one which declined. 4 haven't even responded. I'll give them the benefit of doubt that it's likely an email issue like a spam filter. But if they're listening, they're welcome on the program in the coming weeks. Joining me now are Rob and Laurel Bailey of Global Feast. They've written and blogged about their travels around the world as well as experiences in their own kitchen in their home on Bowen Island, where I reached them last week. They're often in Vancouver, especially on Kingsway in Vancouver and Burnaby, as well as in Richmond, trying all sorts of cuisines, showcasing good food, often mom-and-pop operations or holes in the wall, eschewing chains. I ask them about what they're looking for when they go out and eat and their recent travels to Southeast Asia. See their weekly videos on YouTube. The channel's called Global Feast or Global underscore Feast. They're funny, and you'll often get great tips as to places to go as well. Visit their website at real-food.ca. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Rob and Laurel Bailey. Mr. and Mrs. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. So I've reached you on Bowen Island, is that right?
Correct.
How long have you guys lived there?
Okay, I can tell you exactly. As of July 14th, 2026, it'll be 25 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So one wonders then. Because all of your videos seem to be in Vancouver, or you visit places in Vancouver. Why is it? How often do you get back into town, say?
We go into town regularly. We both grew up, Rob grew up in Burnaby, and I grew up in Kitts.
Hmm.
So Vancouver is still home for us, despite having moved to Bowen when we decided to have children. So we go back and forth regularly. It's good balance between rural and urban.
Yeah. And we're in there because Laurel's an actor, so all of our agents and wardrobe fittings and stuff is within 3 blocks of where we stay in Vancouver. And I go in for rehearsals sometimes for my band, and it's just very convenient to have a place to hang your hat where you don't have to worry about catching the last ferry. So, and we also end up eating out a lot.
Yeah. The other thing that I really like about your videos is that you're 2 people who obviously know your way around the kitchen and yet have an appreciation of what's out there in terms of dining options for the rest of us that may not be so adept in cooking. Because you can tell sometimes with these influencer types, you know, when they rave about something, it's clear that they wouldn't know their way around a kitchen. And so that automatically discounts whatever opinions they have. And so when you guys talk about the food that you're eating and why it's so good and why it's well done. You do have this knowledge, don't you, of how to do it?
Yeah, I think actually that's probably a function of the blessing that we've had in being able to travel. Because we've spent a lot of time in Asia, you know, India, and so we, you know, once that the taste of something in its original form is deeply ingrained into your brain, then it gets a lot easier to recognize it when you taste something that tastes extremely authentic here.
But you're also correct. We do both cook. Mm-hmm. I'd say Rob's probably the better cook because he loves it. I love to bake, and I like to ferment and do all these sort of weird, sort of science-y kinds of, you know, things.
You see our fridge.
Yeah, so lots of ferments, lots of sourdough and various other baking, and Rob likes to cook. So we're well-balanced that way, I think.
The other thing that impresses a lot of viewers is your palates. They're quite strong. You can handle heat, spice, and the sort. Is that something that one can learn to develop, say? Because, I mean, I'm not a big fan of spicy food, but I'd like to be, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there's a difference. A lot of people confuse spicy food with hot food, and there is a difference. Like, the hot for hot's sake, I think, is actually kind of boring, but there is a lot of flavor in some of the spicier dishes, and we had the fortunate experience of living in India for 7 months, and that kind of developed our palate. And we kind of, Laurel especially, grew up because of her family background doing a lot of Chinese things, so it was not, she comes by her palate very honestly. I kind of had to learn.
to answer your question briefly, Joe, yes, actually, you can learn. You can build up your tolerance to heat. And, again, I don't like heat just for heat's sake,
right,
or bravado or whatever. But there are some spicy dishes that have, like, a fruitiness to them or something. And if you can't tolerate the spice, then you never get to experience that other flavor that comes with the spice.
The thing that I've noticed from your videos from the beginning is that you're consistent, that you like supporting small places, sort of mom-and-pop places. And in this economy, you're looking for something that won't break the bank. Has that always been a priority for you when you guys eat out?
So the mom-and-pop thing, I think we tend to prefer mom-and-pop places for a number of reasons. One is there's usually an authenticity that when you get into corporate situations,
right,
things get evened out and bland, and not necessarily authentic. Also, though, I think that we both have this desire to support small business people, often immigrants, people who've come here trying to make a better life, and they're doing it by sharing their knowledge of their cuisine with us. And how lucky are we that we have the opportunity to partake of that?
Yeah, and I think that there's often a real honesty in the food, in the creation and the flavor of the food in those types of operations, as opposed to, well, you know, we got 12 locations across the city or across the country, and we have an executive chef who, you know, figured out a way to dumb things down enough to bring in the clientele. That kind of stuff doesn't really attract us at all. But when grandma's in the kitchen, you know there's something good going on. You know?
What else do you guys look for in terms of let's say you're in Vancouver today, and it's a Monday afternoon, if you will. It's a lunchtime. When you come to the city, do you have an idea of where you want to go, or is it something that you just you see something and you say, well, let's go in there?
Well, we often do some research online first. We also keep our eyes out when we're driving. But if it's a Monday afternoon, we're probably not going for Chinese, because we've learned that the majority of Chinese restaurants
right.
in the greater Vancouver area close on Monday.
Yeah.
So Mondays and Tuesdays can be iffy.
Yeah, and also, when we first started doing our channel, I mean, we started it in Vietnam, just because we were like wide-eyed going, I can't believe how good the food is here.
Yeah.
And then when we got back home, we said, well, let's keep doing this, and we'll do our favorite places. So we, you know, went through 8 or 10 or 12 of our favorite haunts. And then after that, we put the call out to people, like our gradually, incrementally increasing viewership, going, hey, where should we go? And we were inundated. Like, we have this list of places to go that is just, like, I don't think we could ever get to them all.
Yeah.
And that, we use that constant feedback from people viewing to help us winnow down a list of selections for a Monday if we go into town.
True.
And there is no shortage of good places to get good value, even in 2026, is there?
No, my goodness, no.
That's true. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have noticed that even though we've only been doing this for a few years, I think 6 or 7 of the restaurants we've reviewed have closed.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a tough
permanently business. Closed.
It's
so
really
that's
hard.
Really sad, because some of those were our old-time favorites. They were on the original list of our places that we went before we had viewers.
Yeah. Are there places that you have to avoid, say places that are too loud or dark, say, that are not well lit, that aren't good for filming, say?
No, I don't think that's so much a consideration.
Our camera works well with different light.
Yeah.
Sound can be an issue, but Rob's got software that helps to...
we have our own, each of us have our own mic, so mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to localize and filter out, like using some digital signal processing to filter out some background noise and focus in on what we're doing. But generally, the places that we tend to go to are smaller, so having a larger clientele in there isn't usually an issue.
I think the only problem that we have had is there have been a few places we went, one of the ramen places jumps out in my mind, where the tables were super close together.
Mm.
And Rob and I tend to like to sit side by side because it works best for filming.
Yeah.
But if we're at a deuce, we have to sit across from each other and pass the camera back and forth. And when you have people sitting super close to you, that can be really tricky.
Yeah.
And how do other patrons in a restaurant react to say, the two of you filming? I mean, I guess it's easier now that we all have phones, and so we all whip out our phones when we eat. But some patrons might not be comfortable, say, with filming, say.
Yeah, there's been a variety of responses. We've only had a couple of messages back going, can you please blur out my face? I don't like being... displayed on YouTube.
Mm.
And fair enough. And so we've become a little bit more conscious of that. Now Laurel's really good at going, you should blur that person's face out or whatever in the video. So we're doing more of that. The responses range from don't you dare show my face to being completely oblivious to us. And then lately, it's like, oh, you guys, I've seen your videos. I love your stuff, thank you. So
yeah.
But there's the full spectrum of responses. So, but thankfully, there's been very, very few negative things said, and most people just don't care if you're, and our little camera is discreet enough where it's not immediately obvious unless you're looking for it. So.
And we had one proprietor just say to us, please don't film the other customers, and we're like, yeah, we're doing our best not to, and if we catch them because they walk behind one of us, we'll blur them.
Right. What was it like when the first person came up to you and said, hey, we watch you?
Surreal.
Very strange.
What was the first one?
The first one was at Michael.
Oh, okay.
We were in a store at Michael's store, craft store, right? And we were
uh-huh.
That was the second one. What was the first one?
I forget, but I know that was the second one.
Anyway, in the Michael's, this guy was just, he did this thing, I can't show you, of course, where he pointed at Rob and he pointed at me and did the back and forth and kind of did the, like you could see the light bulb go on over his head.
Yeah. And he just said, cool, my feet.
Right? And we had someone on the seawall. We have had people in restaurants come up to us.
And I was in London.
Oh, I know who the first one was.
Well, yeah.
It was in Crystal Mall.
That's right.
And it was a lovely man who was Vietnamese-American from San Diego. And he had started watching our videos when we were in Vietnam because he was planning on taking a trip to his ancestral homeland and knew nothing really about Vietnam, I think. So he was looking at places to go. And then after his trip, I guess, he was coming up to Vancouver to visit some relatives, and he was like, oh, look, those same people are now reviewing in Vancouver. And so for him to run into us at the first time we were at the Crystal Mall was kind of amazing.
Yeah, and he literally just ran over, and he goes, it is you guys, it is you guys. And we're like, yeah, it's us. And he told us the whole thing about, what Laurel just said. And it was just so, so touching, actually, that we know someone's watching and that it had that much of an effect on someone's travel plan.
Well, because he made a list. He knew he was coming to Vancouver, and he made a list of places we had reviewed that he wanted to hit while he was here with his visiting relatives.
Wow.
So that was really cool.
Yeah,
right?
That is cool.
Yeah.
The other cool thing, that because my parents are Filipino, you've been to a number of Filipino places in and around Metro Vancouver that I haven't been to. And now they're on my list to go to. So if I'm in North Van, I'm going to go to that place that you went to recently.
Alamo Grill, yeah.
And
that one in North Van is astounding. There's a bunch of stuff. It's just
we
amazing.
Were really impressed there, yeah.
In fact, we just came back from a month in the Philippines, and
our
overwhelming take was we were so lucky to have the restaurants that we have here in Vancouver for Filipino food because, by and large, they were they were as good or better than anything we had there. So that was interesting.
And then one of the places that you both went to is in Iloilo, which is where my parents are from.
Yeah.
And so this was just, you know, terrific for me to get to know this place that I'm essentially from, even though I'm born here.
Yeah.
And see what the food is like there. And I take from the one video I've seen, you really enjoyed it.
Well, yeah. We went to two places, but the seafood place that we went to, and this is like anybody who travels, we both really recommend that, you know, talk to your Uber driver or your Grab driver and go, hey, where would you take your grandmother for lunch, you know, and chat him up. And once we cracked the ice with this wonderful guy, and he said, you have to come to this place. It's a half an hour to town, but it's my favorite place. So we went, okay, take us there tomorrow. So he did, and we just had a wonderful time. And then, of course, he goes, after we're finished the dinner, he goes, you have to come and meet my father. And then
his father baked a cake for us.
Yeah,
right.
It was just
like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool. That's the cool thing about traveling, is that if you're open to experience and you know, you let the walls down a little bit and try to engage people and, you know, treat them as equals, if not in some cases superiors, then wonderful things happen. Like doors open and you get a travel experience that you wouldn't otherwise have.
And to us, that's what travel is. That's the value of travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go to the Hard Rock Cafe. I don't want to go,
McDonald's.
Have a...
Yeah.
We had a taxi driver take us to a McDonald's in China, in Beijing, because he thought that it was our food, and we would appreciate that. And so we had to, with halting Mandarin, try and get him to take us to a dumpling place.
Even better than that, Laurel called her sister-in-law, who was in Beijing, and that was on speakerphone. It was hilarious. They had this like ferocious conversation, but she basically, you know, chewed him a fresh one and said, take these people to go have some real food. And we ended up going to this dumpling place. It was one of the best meals we had in China. It was great.
Mm. Yeah.
So as people who've been to the Philippines recently, is the food that they serve here in Vancouver similar to what one can get in the Philippines?
I would say, yeah. The four Filipino places that we've been to, the people that are putting their food out are just immensely proud of doing, like, the best representation of the region that they come from.
Yeah, I think that the food here is, as Rob said earlier, as good as.
Or better.
Or even better in some cases. I don't know if that's an ingredient issue or what. I don't think that the Filipino food here is dumbed down.
Mm.
But that's not been our experience.
Yeah. Because they cater to a predominantly Filipino crowd, right? So if they dumbed it down, nobody would come.
Yeah. The other thing that I like about your videos is that you both pay your own way. You've not been to a place that we've seen, I guess, that where you've been invited to dine on the house, have you?
Never.
No.
Never. Yeah. In fact, we've had some invitations to come back and, thank you for the review, come and have a meal on us. We don't want to get into that because that's a slippery slope.
Yep.
Right.
Because it destroys your objectivity, and then you feel an obligation to, this place is great, you know, and even if it's not. And even with those kinds of things, if we don't like a place, we've actually had the experience of going and filming a few different places, and then we looked at each other halfway through the meal, and we're kind of going,
we turned the camera off.
Yeah, we just turned the camera off. Like, I don't want to slag somebody who's trying to make their living. So if we don't enjoy it or find something entertaining about it, we won't publish a video.
Because it's not, we don't want to be putting people out of business.
Right.
It's a hard enough economy. And there are going to be other people who might really like that restaurant. We don't need to diss them publicly.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just don't. We don't air things that are really negative. That's not our jam.
Yeah, our whole goal when we started doing this was, imagine that you just landed in Vancouver and you're looking on, you know, YouTube or Googling some
Yelp.
Yelp, looking for some restaurant recommendations. We want it to be a source of authentic criticism and, you know, reviewing places so that if people had similar tastes to us, we could make a judgment call and go, well, these guys like it, so it's got to be half decent.
Also, we travel on a budget. We are not people who stay in fancy hotels, and we don't. We occasionally fine dine, but usually not when we travel.
It's usually disappointing.
Yeah, that too. So it's important to us that travelers to Vancouver have places that are really reasonably priced that they know they can go to if they're traveling on a budget.
Yeah, and so many of the, like when you Google top 10 restaurants in Vancouver, nothing that we would recommend is on those lists because
right.
they're all
yeah.
corporate funded and heavily skewed, you know, so, yeah.
When you look at, by the way, you mentioned something. I think it was Laurel who said this on a recent video about where you go. It's mainly Vancouver, Richmond, Burnaby.
Yeah.
But going mm-hmm. further east or southeast, like Surrey, that's not something that you generally do. And I guess is that because of the proximity to where you live, say?
Yes and
partially.
No. We also don't have. I guess Burquitlam mm. is sort of as far as we've been. We've headed to this sort of little Korea area out there.
Which is
very cool.
Yeah.
One of our sons lived out that way for a while, and so we explored the whole Korean zone with the H-Mart and all the smaller stores that are out there.
In North
and
Road.
Found a lovely Korean restaurant there. That was one of our first reviews,
yeah.
I think, Nadri. But beyond that, sure, we can take what our viewers recommend, but we don't really have a good sense of Surrey and how to choose the best restaurants there, and it is a bit of a trek for us there and back. Langley, also the same. So, so we've sort of confined ourselves to Richmond, Vancouver, North Van, Burnaby, and edging into Coquitlam.
Yeah, we'll get there because we're still on the quest for the ultimate tally, the ultimate.
There is that, yes. We are looking for a good tally, so we might end up in Surrey. Yeah.
And so the comments you found useful from your viewers, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We love that they engage with us and the things that are being said. Sometimes they're correcting us, and that works too. sometimes it's suggestions. Sometimes it's really nice comments like, hey, I went to, you know, this place you recommended, and it's my new favorite place. And we're like, awesome. That's exactly what we're trying to do here, right?
And, you
comments
know,
are great.
I was just thinking, you know, if you just had to go up and down Kingsway.
Kingsway has been phenomenal,
absolutely.
Particularly the Crystal Mall, but also around that Kingsway Joyster.
Yeah.
So much, but between like Victoria Drive, Fraser, and Kingsway, that whole zone, oh my goodness.
It's mind-blowing, really, because after, you know, eating a lot, like we've been to Singapore several times and Kuala Lumpur we were just in and everything, and there's some amazing, you know, street food and food courts and all that sort of stuff. But Vancouver feels to me like an undiscovered gem that people don't realize what a phenomenal food city it really is.
When you go into the Crystal Mall, we've done either 3 or 4 videos and could do more just on the Crystal Mall food court.
Yeah. Yeah. That's astounding.
Because it's much like, it reminds us of Asian food courts.
Yeah, and we've walked into some of the food courts the Crystal Mall is one, but in Richmond, too, where you walk through the doors and it's like you've been teleported.
Mm.
Like we look at each other and go, oh, my God, I'm in Asia now.
Yeah, I'm in Singapore. I'm in Taipei. I'm in Hong Kong.
No flight necessary. It's incredible. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And in Richmond, it's another place that you guys go to frequently. I've been to a couple places because of your videos. You said something to me, Laurel, just before we started off tape, that you really do have to plan where you want to go, I guess, if you're going to a place like Richmond, because it can be overwhelming.
I think Richmond can be quite overwhelming. If you were to get in your car and just drive around, there are thousands of restaurants.
Yeah.
How do you choose? Right? It's too much. So having suggestions from either our viewers or two of my brothers live in Richmond and eat out regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So we get recommendations from them as well. And so we tend to be strategic when we go to Richmond. We know exactly where we're going. We don't cruise the streets the way we might on Kingsway.
Yeah, and Laurel is maybe underselling her family background a little bit because one of her brothers lived in Taiwan and Beijing for, you know, 12, 15 years, speaks fluent Mandarin, and married a Taiwanese woman.
He would say not fluent.
Well,
Mandarin.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing. Her other brother speaks some Vietnamese and has been there numerous times. So we're a little bit I don't know if it's a typical family
background. They're also foodies. Yeah. So I know that the recommendations from my brothers are of a certain level.
Yeah.
They're not going to recommend a place that we don't like.
The chicken chow mein here was fantastic.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
I guess you have to be foodies to live in this part of the world, don't you?
Well, no, to live here and appreciate it.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people who live here and go by the restaurants
don't
and never go in. And that's fine. They're living their life doing the things that they love. Whether, you know, you could say that about skiing, and I don't ski, right?
Mm.
Or windsurfing or whatever. I don't do those things. But people live here who do those, and they live here because we have great access to that.
Like the banh mi place. On Kingsway, that mm-hmm. we just did one on a couple of months ago. I lived in that house on 22nd and Clark, about two or three blocks away from it, for a long time, and never went in there. Never even had a clue how amazing it was. And then Laurel and I went in at somebody's recommendation.
Eric, it was my brother.
It was your brother, right? And it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, there's a lot here if you sort of turn over stones and look underneath them.
And it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg, although we know Vancouver can.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the other great thing about you guys show us, you know, how much you paid at the end, and one can go to the place that you've just been to and order as they'd like, you know, knowing what it's going to cost, and I think that's so helpful. By the way, you when you do your thing at the end of the videos and you say, you know, share, like, comment, etc., and you use that phrase, Laurel, that it helps the channel. Have you noticed that over the couple of years that you've been doing this steadily, that the reach that you have has grown?
Yes, and it's grown. When we started in Vietnam, we had very few subscribers until we did one video where overnight it went viral. That was the Bun Rio video.
Yeah.
But it was all Vietnamese. And they were like, oh, my God, you like our food? And it was really...
Even funnier, oh, my God, you know how to use chopsticks?
Yeah, they were that. And it was Grandma and Grandpa. They referred to us, you know, very polite. Grandma and Grandpa, welcome to Vietnam. We hope you enjoy our food.
It was so charming.
It was very, very
so charming. And
then they kind of dropped off when we left Vietnam, which is not surprising. And we've slowly grown our Vancouver base bit by bit, but we've noticed that the commenting really increases our reach. The YouTube will put us in front of more eyeballs if the people currently watching comment.
Yeah.
So we've slowly been growing. It has not been a big jump other than that initial one.
And then we noticed, too, when we went to the Philippines, there was a big bump in subscribers and people commenting from the Philippines, because YouTube is regional. So if you do something that's put out in the Philippines, suddenly it's
reaching that audience.
And then we come back to Vancouver, and not so many Filipino people are watching. Because you can see on YouTube what your analytics are. You can see what the nationalities are that people are watching from.
Well, what country they're living in.
Yeah, and
whether they're male or female.
Yeah.
And what age they are, approximately.
Yeah. So 75% of our audience is men over the age of 65 who live in Canada.
Well, I'm in my mid-40s, and I enjoy you guys a great deal.
Thank you.
What's the kind of food that you guys are looking forward to eating next, say?
Oh, that's a good question. Laurel, you gotta...
I'm always keeping an eye out for... Our base tends to be Asian, partly, particularly Chinese, but Asian generally, because we've spent years living in Asia. We have a comfort area there. Most of our recommendations are for Asian places. I would like to explore some other places, but, we've had a few. We've had Persian and Ethiopian and a few others. The problem has been that we find that, say, a lot of Greek restaurants or Italian restaurants serve all the same thing, and frankly...
And Thai restaurants.
We're gonna sound really arrogant here, but we cook that stuff very well at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to restaurants, we don't find that it's of a caliber that's worth paying for when we can cook that well at home.
Right.
Whereas the Chinese restaurants we go to, even though we do cook Chinese at home, we find are at a standard that is better than what we do at home.
Yeah, it's like poaching eggs. I can't poach an egg for my life.
Oh, I can teach you.
Well, see, that's the thing, and
no,
I mean,
I know what you're saying.
That's what I'll eat when I go out, and if it's scrambled eggs, I'll probably skip that if I see it on the menu, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah. I can't tell you the last time I ordered pasta in a restaurant.
Yes, we make all our own pasta. We make our own sausages and cure our own bacon and all that kind of stuff. So it's got to be pretty darn good.
So going to a restaurant and getting an Alfredo or a marinara or whatever, it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So, so I would love to find some restaurants that are non-Asian that we could review, but they're
harder
to find.
Have a similar aesthetic, right?
Yeah, similar. Like mom and pop, good food, authentic food from wherever they're from. Would love that.
I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you both. I'm big fans of your work, as you know, and this is just great fun for me to talk to people who are doing great work in terms of showcasing places that are in my city that I need to see and that a lot of people listening to us ought to see. So I so appreciate your time today. I hope your next meal's better than the one you've had previously and the one after that is better.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks so much
appreciate
for
it.
for your interest, Joseph. It's very, very good to make the connection, and it's charming for us to see that, you know, we have some sort of an impact on someone's dining decisions.
And so someone under the age of 65.
There you go. There you go. The channel's called Global Feast or Global _ Feast on YouTube, and their website is at real-food.ca. Rob and Laurel Bailey join me on the line from Bowen Island in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.